on the Mount is not about what to believe, but rather it's about what to do. It's the foundation for ethical behavior. It is, in fact, a behavioral manifestation. Unlike the Nicene Creed that was written 300 years later, beautiful words about what to believe, not a single word about what to do. The Sermon on the Mount is a directive, it's a path, it's a guide, it's a way of life from one who said, I am the way, my life is the way your life should go. That when Jesus calls his disciples, he does not say, believe in me. He says, follow me. Leave your fish and your nets and your families and follow me, and you will know God. And you and I know the end of that story. We know that these first disciples were forever changed by their encounter with Jesus. In the Sermon on the Mount, Dave and Chris have helped us to see the hard stuff, the stuff of daily life, the choices, the ethics, the behavior, the lust, the divorce, the reconciliation, the violence, going the second mile, turning the other cheek, and then, and this is not an either or, then there's Holy Week. Our faith history includes both of these. Jesus' 3 years of ministry, that's 1,093 days, and 7 days of Holy Week. We call it the Passion of Christ. And it's about his passion for a way of life. It's about his passion for justice. It's about his passion for loving to the very extreme. And our experience is that when we enter into that passion, we too enter into the resurrection. We enter into a new day. We enter into God's grace and God's forgiveness. God's kingdom is described in the New Testament. It's not about tomorrow or yesterday. God's kingdom for Jesus is an immediate in a luminous reality. So we stand on the threshold of Lent. Ash Wednesday's coming up, TNT. Palm Sunday, Holy Week, Good Friday, Maundy Thursday, Easter Sunday morning. And the danger may be that we can sometimes forget the driving energy that propels Jesus into Jerusalem. That seat of occupied power, that holy of holies for the very religious. And the danger is that we too may get caught up in the hallelujahs of the crowd, and we may even hear ourselves say, crucify him, in our moments of discontent. We may become enthralled in worshiping the wonder of it all, so that our discipleship may get buried sometimes in the palm branches, or a Last Supper in the holiness of the moment, a special guest of Da Vinci. And so why do you come to church? How do you go from church? Do you come for the awe and the wonder of Holy Week and the resurrection? Do you come for an update on your to-do list? Do you come with this gnawing yearning simply to worship God? Do you come to feel held in a wonderful, caring community of God's people? Do you come to trim your sails and refocus your life? Do you come to recharge your batteries and plug in to what is a source of life for you? But whatever your answer may be, it's authentic to your journey, it's authentic to your discipleship. And it may be very different from the person in front of you or behind you or across from you. Very different because this business of coming to church and this business of trusting God is a very complex business. In our scripture passage this morning, what is God's business? How are we being invited into God's story? Peter's in a fix. We humans tend to get ourselves into fixes. But God is very much present, surely in Peter's prayers, surely in this unidentified angel. And as soon as Peter is freed and he sees the light, what does he do? He runs off to his spiritual community. We run off to our spiritual community. Don't we worship because we want to and because we need to? Our worship experience speaks to a wide range of needs and traditions, some of it old, some of it new, some of it soul-rattling, some of it comforting. Don't we come because of the community that nurtures us? Dave loves to tell us that we're a praying community. And I believe it is in that sharing, in that praying, that we reach out into each other's lives. We get connected into each other's world. Do you ever think about the fact that when you don't come to church on a Sunday morning, you are missed? Someone is missing you. You may not know who it is. You may not know the fact of it. But some part of the community in your absence is always missed. Don't you scan the congregation on a Sunday morning to wonder where so-and-so is, or the family that usually sits in front of you or behind you or across from you? And the children, it's not just because I'm a grandfather, but don't you just love the children, the sound of the children in our life together? One Sunday morning, I was sitting in my pew looking out across the center aisle, and suddenly I see something scoot under the pew. And I think to myself, oh, my land, there is a mouse loose. This place is going to come apart. Less than a minute later, said mouse scooted back. And it turned out to be a little red car. And I could hear myself say to myself, God is surely in this place. But our discipleship is not just about Sunday morning. You know as well as I do that we don't become Christians and we don't become followers of Jesus by sitting in church any more than you become a car by sitting in your garage. Jesus' message in the Beatitudes and the passages in the Sermon on the Mount is the engine that drives him into Jerusalem. It's the engine that helps him find that humble donkey rather than the white horse of power. It's the engine that calls his friends to meet and to share and to pray together and to make a bond of a new covenant. The very engine that calls us to an empty tomb and a new tomorrow. The called or uncalled, God is present. George MacLeod's a mentor and promoter of Scotch Presbyterianism. Believe that the spiritual is to be found at the heart of the material. That we should look for God not away from the material world in some spiritual realm, but rather more deeply into the life of the world. In the places of struggle and poverty, in the places of loneliness and prejudice, in the prisons that we get ourselves locked up in. When we go deeply into life, we find God's presence is deeper than any wrong or any pain. We find that God's goodness is liberated within us and within our relationships. The called or uncalled, God is present. The spirituality of awareness is about looking and listening in the midst of every moment of our lives. Remember Peter when he leaves the prison. Could we consider the possibility of expecting angels? Have you ever met an angel? Go back through the experiences of your life, especially in those moments when you're afraid or you're uncertain. And I suspect you will discover more angels than you ever dreamed were there. Those moments when the chains fall, when some decaying system goes away and has no more power, when you feel fresh air fill your soul and takes it to the very depth of who you are. My personal experience is that angels are inclined to bring you up short. They teach you things you didn't even think you needed to learn about yourself. They get you to do things you swore you'd never be caught dead doing, and you find you actually enjoyed doing them. They're inclined to give you a new perspective about yourself and about reality. They take you to places that you never dreamed of going. And they show you the complex diamond of God with a completely new sparkle. Have you ever met an angel? I don't want to disillusion you. No, they're not running around in white nighties. They're in the pew next to you. They may be at coffee hour. They're on the street where you live, in the shops where you shop, the place where you work, in the park where you play. You may find them in TNT evenings or a house group gathering. And surely, you will find them around this table in this community, where we're invited to come and listen to our instincts, to trust our intuitions, to honor our visions. It was that night when Jesus invited his disciples to come and to be a part of this community. Varying kinds of beliefs and systems and people, a diverse group of people. And he invites us to come and to share with him in the sharing of this meal. We come and we meet. We pray together. We make a bond of a new commitment to a new covenant. And we hear the Spirit being poured out into our lives. And it's that place where we come this morning, just as Jesus came with his disciples years and years ago, is here now. It was on that night that after he had given thanks,